This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
This is what I would say. Everybody take a deep breath and just soak in a few things. You're probably not going to go 13-3. I don't think Josh Allen is going to win the MVP of the NFL this year. I think that is gone. And that's all right. It's not the goal of the season. The goal of the season is to win the division and win a playoff game or two. Take a deep breath, reestablish who you are. They're not the greatest show on turf. Josh Allen throwing for 350, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's not what's going to work for them in the long term. I would like to make a few tackles, and I'd like to have some running plays that work better before the next Josh Allen MVP campaign comes up. And I'm a supporter of it. I got the gentleman's name on my shirt right here. I love him, but I don't know if that's the recipe for the Bills month after month.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, take Kyle Brandt on One Bills Live. Is he wrong? I mean, that wouldn't probably word it all like that, but I might aspire to.
That's measured, reasonable, and therefore atrocious. No, it's fine. Yeah, it's
therefore, keep that out of prime time.
Unacceptable. Get out of here with this calm demeanor. We want to overreact and flake out.
I do see it that way, though. And I'm at risk too then, but I mean, are they supposed to be as good as Kansas City? No. Most people wouldn't say they were, and they're not. And so we saw that firsthand. They're still the division favorite. That was the goal. That was the best. That was the number one answer on the board for what the goal is this year. Win the division and then win a playoff game. Those two things in tandem. And they still are. And the Super Bowl always seemed ambitious, right, to say the least. And it isn't even like that's out of the realm yet because of this game, because it's week six. So they're not a perfect team, right? We know. The Chiefs are closer to a perfect team.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's definitely, that part is definitely right. I'm mostly kidding about mocking Kyle Brandt for being so calm and measured there. Like I'm mostly kidding, but there is a part of me that wanted something out of yesterday. Measuring stick. Get it back on track. Last week was a weird week with everything. Tennessee, and are you playing? Are you not playing? When's the game? Are you playing Kansas City instead? Like all the crap. Like, okay. Like, I give you a pass there. You know, I think last week on this show on Wednesday, which was the day after the game, which is still weird, to say and think about, I was like, can we get on to Kansas City? Because Kansas City was the game. I want to see what I can do here against this team. And it just sort of felt like McDermott's plan was to turtle. And that might have been the best approach that he could come up with. And it might have been the right approach. It just was really jarring and disappointing because I was expecting to see if I can go toe-to-toe. That was what the first 4 weeks were about. You know, I'm throwing it all over everybody, and can I keep up in a game where Kansas City is doing that to me? Well, boy, the way it looked in the first 4 weeks, of course, I wasn't playing the Chiefs, right? But I thought, like, okay, well, maybe we're going to find that out. And instead, we got, field position and, you know, shorten the game and stuff that just sounds like not where we thought the Bills' collective heads were at through a few weeks. I mean, we spent a lot of time giving McDermott a lot of credit for this transformation that none of us really saw coming, that he would sort of succumb to, you know, 21st century football and not try to beat a team like that, you know, 20-17. And I think he tried to beat a team like that 20-17 last night.
Am I missing something here with this comeback, though? Like, defensively, yes. You know, what did they want to do? They were willing to get run on to prevent Patrick Mahomes from throwing it over them for big plays and scores. But offensively, I don't know if they wanted to be in a slugfest, really. Like, I think they just missed on offense. Or would you say that they wanted to be more conservative?
I think if you have a defensive game plan going in that is meant to shorten the game and limit your opponent's opportunities to put points up on you, it's because you don't think you can run with them. So that indicates that you would have had a more conservative approach on offense, but that gets you to Allen just missing everything, and so I'm not sure. That sort of muddies the waters. So, like, I'm not sure that what I'm saying is exactly right. You know, I don't always feel the right way, you know, but I know what I was expecting and what a lot of fans were hoping for, and we didn't get it. We got instead, we'll try it this way. And, you know, maybe the other way comes when it matters more. You know, McDermott is talking about being in form when it, you know, when it counts the most and those sorts of things. And maybe that's to be respected. You know, maybe I'm just being short-sighted because last night was so disappointing.
I wouldn't go that far myself, but I don't know either that they wanted to be more conservative on offense. Like, they really didn't look like that to me. There weren't. It was the Tennessee game where it stood out to me that they wanted to run the ball up the middle on first and second down in a few series. Like, why do I want to do that? And they ended up scoring 16 points that night. Last night, I did not get the same impression. Really, statistically, they just didn't run that many plays in the second half. Like, the first half, they had the ball for more time than the Chiefs did. But in the second half, it was, what, 7 plays? Is that right? I mean, they had 23 rushes and 27 passes last night. I don't know. Right from the beginning of the game, Allen was missing. You can blame him. You can blame other things for that, other people for that. And it just did not get off the ground, really. So, you know, that's interesting, though. Do they have to go together? Maybe those philosophies, maybe they do. I just know Patrick Mahomes tends to just light it up on teams. And for me, if I haven't made it clear, like, for me, McDermott having an approach to this game that was to avoid that is fine. That's to me, sensible. 803-0550, the number. Eric Wood in about 15 minutes. Here is Percy with us. Hi, Percy. Percy.
Hello?
Hello?
That's not going to work out.
How many years do you have to put in for people? I mean, maybe the guy hasn't been listening for all the time we've been hosting here.
Yeah, he might be new. He might have just tried.
It's this radio thing. How do you do this?
How it works.
What do you do? What do you do? You call in, and what happens?
Right. Delay?
Okay. What? What? I don't get it. Rick is next. Hello, Rick.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Okay, Rick. Thanks for calling us.
Just two quick things. I noticed all season long the Bills' defense can't cover the edge. Everybody's going outside on us. And another quick thing, we got to find a defensive lineman stud. We got to find a Pat Williams, a Ted Washington, somebody that occupies two people. We don't have that this year, and I think that's hurting the D-line. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I think that might be right. I mean, I was hopeful that they might get better because they'd have players who were maybe more athletic and could get upfield more when Star Lotulelei opted out. But it's possible that he has, you know, the least sexy job of all the Bills players, but that he was effective doing it. You know, I think Sal would tell you he always stuck up for Lotulelei because he's, you know, he's not going to fill the stat sheet, but he's doing a job that's necessary for everyone else to do their job. and they are missing that player. They did not, and really, even going into the year, they really did not have a replacement for him in the rotation. They even Jordan Phillips last year was not a true replacement for him. He was a different styled player, more of an upfield type player as opposed to occupy and just eat space. So I think they might be missing that.
I don't know how much it's going to help me stop good quarterbacks, though, because I think that's the name of the game this year. They should win enough games to get to the playoffs as is. Can they win in the playoffs? That'll be, can they stop the pass? Can they stop good quarterbacks? Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, whoever you want here. And I don't know if that's going to do that. I mean, they've invested first-round picks into the middle of this defense. And, you know, how's that going?
Well, I mean, did they not stop Patrick Mahomes last night? I mean, he didn't throw all over them. I mean, he was very efficient. I felt like I said already today, that I felt like anytime they needed it, they got it through the air. It's just that they didn't need to that often because they were running like crazy. So what that big mahonker human that occupies two people does for you is it helps you against the run when you're playing your safeties deep to try to take away them throwing it over the top of you. They're missing that player.
I think, you know, part of this conversation, it seems, has been if the Chiefs wanted to go in a different direction, that they would have, and that they would have been able to. And I don't know if that's true. Like, they didn't have to, or they didn't choose to. So, I don't know. Like, you're talking about what in practicality for this year? Trading for somebody, or this caller is?
Trading for somebody.
Or something like that? You know, I don't know. I'm not somebody who gets excited when they draft Ed Oliver or Tremaine Edmonds and trade up to draft Tremaine Edmonds, because to me that's just like, whatever. These guys are interchangeable parts on defense, and soon everybody's going to know that what you want to be on offense in football to have a chance to win is high-powered. I got to have the quarterback who can hit spots. I got to have receivers who can get open. And the beginning of this year was a huge step forward for the Bills in this respect, and it really didn't matter ultimately that they couldn't stop teams that well because they could outscore them. And for me, the Chief game was always a game where they would only win by doing that. And when they couldn't score, they were in trouble. And so they gave up 26. That's not a bad night against Kansas City. Whatever you want to put into the bowl of soup to help produce that outcome, whether they were to blame for it or to get credit for it or whatever it was, that's where they ended up, and they didn't score nearly enough to beat them. And, you know, to have a chance to live and be relevant in the NFL, you'd better be able to score. The Bills were that team for 4 weeks, and now they're not. And that's the whole ball game, I think. 803-0550. Next up is Roger. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Roger. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the show. I was just calling in. I'm living in Florida now. Don't get to see many games because I don't have DirecTV. So I was really appreciative how, you know, by chance, COVID delayed a game. Got to see that on national television. Got to see this.
You're a guy who can find bright spots in pandemics.
That's right. So just a couple guys I want to talk about. First of all, Josh Allen. I think he's been spectacular this year. I know he has occasionally the bad pass, but, you know, I also just don't think that the commentator last night was being too fair to him. I don't know if you noticed the first series, he kept talking about his accuracy, and then as soon as Patrick Mahomes missed the pass, he just starts talking about, oh, the ball must be slippery.
Well, Patrick Mahomes has earned a certain respect that Josh Allen has not, and it doesn't really bother me or even stand out to me when it's like that, because one is an NFL MVP who has set the league on fire with his accuracy, and the other is a guy who was not supposed to be a good quarterback. And really, so far this year, he's been very good, but, you know, you got to do a lot more to sort of become somebody that doesn't get questioned like that, I think.
You got a point there. I guess I'm just, you know, true blue Bills fan here.
Yeah, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I think a lot of people heard it that way, but I think what Mike says, you know, also makes a lot of sense. You're talking about a vast difference in the body of work of the two guys.
So. Sure.
True. another one I want to talk about, big surprise yesterday. Who's this Zimmer guy?
I mean, a guy on their practice squad that they called up for a game?
Didn't he impress you guys? I thought he was all over the place. I was great to see. This guy seemed to always want to get his nose in the play. I actually thought he was a linebacker at first, even though he was big. You know, he was just hitting people yards off the line of scrimmage. I don't know. I was impressed with him.
Sure. I don't know. I have a hard time giving anybody any credit on that line at all. You know, you go study the film. I think maybe you could pick that through. And if you pick that up live, good. I mean, I just thought that everybody in the defensive front seven got their faces caved in yesterday.
When Kansas City had the ball, Roger, I was more thinking about what would happen when the Bills got the ball.
I was looking forward to that too, because our offense has been a revelation this year for the most part. But then it does lead me to my next question, which you guys are actually bringing up. Tremaine Edmonds, is he actually good? Because, you know, you see a lot of first-line linebackers putting up pretty impressive stats. What I have is he has 26 solo tackles, 15 assists, and pass defense. No tackles for loss, no fumble recoveries. You know, none of the stuff that you typically would hope to associate with a first-round linebacker, in my opinion.
Yes, his draft status being held against him. Well, that's what people do, and I'm not saying it's wrong. They traded up in the first round for an inside linebacker. So what was going to happen? Was he going to beat expectations based on that ever? Was he likely to do that? Or was he likely to fall prey to them? But what is he, though? Apart from his draft status, if you ignore that, which is probably best, what is he? I think he's kind of a liability this year so far.
I think he's a super talented individual that at this point is not demonstrating consistently the instincts to play the position effectively. How's that? Is that diplomatic enough? Did that sound pretty coachy? I didn't mean to be coachy. I think what he is, the college, is he actually good? I think he's actually hurt. Like, we can start there. He's also dealing with, and this might circle all the way back to the Star Lotulelei point that was made earlier. You know, he's dealing with guys. He's not only hurt, which is limiting his effectiveness of getting blockers off of him, but he's dealing with more guys on him because they don't have someone gobbling those guys up anymore. So that I think the trickle down has impacted his performance. But he's a guy that if you went and watched every play he's been involved in, there's probably plenty of good. But you watch the game and you see him go to the wrong hole or be flat-footed in pass coverage, and that's your takeaway. And the other good plays don't matter as much because they didn't end up in touchdowns or takeaways or something. I think he's been a problem so far this year.
Thanks, Roger. Eric Wood coming up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, and we will be looking for more of your calls as well at 803-0550, going 3 to 7 weekdays for like the, you know, what, 18th year in a row, thereabouts, give or take. Love give or take. What a great way to be wrong and not get in trouble. Just throw give or take at the end of a sentence.
I'm not really sure when we started doing this.
Just throw give or take in there, and, you know, you get away with anything. We'll see if that changes with these last 30 seconds. First, a word for Outlet Liquor before we get to Eric. Now in stock at Outlet Liquor, High Noon Hard Seltzers. Back in stock, very popular. Also for the fall, Southern Tier Pumpkin Whiskey. Maybe you know the beer, but this is Southern Tier Pumpkin Whiskey. Also in keeping with the theme, Bailey's Apple Pie. New and in stock at Outlet Liquor. Outlet Liquor, you never have to have any sort of membership or have read about any sort of sale or anything like that. It's just the lowest prices all the time. Best prices, most for your money at Outlet Liquor. You can count on that. You don't have to be a, you know, club card holder or anything like that. Try the Gimme Three Section, hundreds of top brands of wine to choose from there. Kim Crawford, Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, Cupcake, Apothic, and others. You can mix and match and build a case. You can save as much as $5 a bottle when you buy a case. Again, you can just go the assorted route for that as well. And try the penny section, where it's buy one bottle, get one more for a penny. The selection and brands you enjoy, Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard, just minutes from the Galleria. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Eric Wood's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. By Jim Steakout, Western New York's best steak hoagie since 1981. And by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino, 888-2020.
All right, welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, joined by Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Eric, what are we, it's a Tuesday afternoon here, what are we taking you away from? Eric? Eric?
Sorry.
There you are.
Gotcha.
Good. Hi.
What are you taking me away
from? Yes.
Yeah, what are you taking me away from?
Yes.
I put this into my schedule, so you're fine. Today was college football prep. What else? I have Tulane at Central Florida this weekend, so that is a lot more prep work than if it's an ACC, ACOC opponent for me. So, get me away from a computer screen for a little while.
Is that a good rivalry? Tulane in Central Florida?
It's an AAC matchup. Unfortunately, Central Florida lost their last two games. Over the past 3 years, they're one of the top five winningest programs, including the last two losses. In both games, they blew an 18-point lead and a 21-point lead. If they don't blow those two leads, then I'm on the sideline for a top 10 team this weekend, but instead, it's an unranked matchup.
It's no surprise that you're grinding at that work, because that's just the sort of person you come across as to me, and I think to a lot of our audience. Do guys who've had the job that you have now at the ACC Network, guys that have had them for a long time, do they sort of like laugh at you because you're working so hard, or does everybody grind it out like this?
Well, if you want to keep your job, especially in the times right now, you need to be grinding it out. You know, it's ESPN, who I work under the ESPN umbrella, so that's why I'm not on an ACC game this weekend like normal, and they had to furlough so many people. So I'm grateful to have the job, and you know what? Here's the approach I took as a player. Whether it was a preseason game, a practice, no matter what, you could always take any play that was on video and say, that's who you are as a player. And so even though this is not going to be my biggest game I've ever done, and last week I was in the booth and I had an awesome experience doing a game in color for college football and my second one doing that, and I'm back on the sideline this week, they could take any play from this weekend. If I have low energy, if I stumble over the open, if I don't know what I'm talking about, if I mess up someone's name, they could always cherry pick that and say, you're unprepared. So I try to take the same exact approach as I did as a player, and just go hard all the time, put out my best at all times, because I'd never want to be cherry-picked as, hey, look at this guy. He doesn't hustle when he's on the backside of a zone play or something. That might not be a great example, but
that's fine. I got it. Yeah, no, you're an inspiration, man. Thank you for the answer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm kind of sick of my dad referring to me as a guy who drafts candy on the radio, but then I think, you know, talking about whether a team should have punted the day before isn't really that much different, so I'll accept it. All right, Eric.
Right.
So,
hey, you know what? You guys serve the people of Buffalo each and every single day, provide them entertainment, a lot of them on their drive home from a day at work that people may or may not enjoy, and hopefully you uplift them before they walk in their house. And if drafting candy provides entertainment over a disappointing Bills loss, good for you all.
It makes it entertains me when I drive home, at least. So that's that's at least something. All right,
appreciate that, Eric.
Thank you. Yes. So this game last night, Eric, like it's the Chiefs, and you know the Bills were an underdog here. I don't know how many people who watch the league thought the Bills were as good or better than the Chiefs, but of course, at the same time, there are, again, like last week, concerns about the Bills after this game. So how critical do you want to be?
Well, I was hoping if I just uplifted you guys a little bit and talked about my college football, we wouldn't necessarily have to get to all this.
We'd never get to the game.
No, I mean, yeah. No, there's obvious concerns after two losses now. I think some perspective is always needed, and you lose to two of the better teams in the NFL on days where your offense didn't have great nights, and you know, you took away what the last two teams' best quality was, but then you couldn't take the alternate away enough. For instance, 2 weeks ago, Derrick Henry, and this is debatable whether him or Ryan Tannehill is kind of the secret sauce in Tennessee, but you hold Derrick Henry to 3 yards a carry, but you can't contain Ryan Tannehill from escaping the pocket a few times. He converts a big third downs. You turn the ball over a couple times, and you lose down in Tennessee. And then this week, you hold Patrick Mahomes to 245-ish yards, and you don't let up any big plays in the air. You hold Tyreek Hill to 3 catches in the game, but you give up around 250 on the ground and 38 minutes of time of possession, but only 26 points. But you take away what both teams did best, and I don't think you can shy away from that. You know what I mean? And so you got to be better at taking away the secondary deal, but I don't think there's as much panic needed. Is what I'm kind of seeing shot at me on Twitter and what I'm reading and kind of hearing through the One Bills Live stuff that I did today. But there's obvious concern when you lose back-to-back games, especially in neither game. I know you had a one-score game, and if you get a stop, maybe the Bills can sneak that one last night and the week before. You know, there's positions where you're in it in the second half, but felt like they weren't in control of either of the games, you know, kind of in the second quarter and on. So there's some concerns, but from my point of view, not a whole lot of panic.
The run stopping, it was 245 on the ground and 225 through the air is what they gave up in the game yesterday. And, you know, I can understand wanting to prevent Mahomes from throwing it all over you. But, boy, being better at stopping the other thing is the problem, at least it was in this game. And because there's no way you could convince me that the plan was to let them run that wild on you. So what have I got there? Maybe we can start here. How badly do you think, if at all, this team is missing Star Lotulelei? They really don't have a replacement for that style player on their D-line.
No, you're right. I think they are missing him. And there was times last year, even with Star, that they got gash and for periods I think it was back-to-back weeks of Miami and Philadelphia last year, and Star was healthy and playing, and they were giving up chunks in the run game, and then they kind of hunkered down, and it didn't become an issue the rest of the year. I look for those changes to be made. I don't know if it's personnel changes, but we saw some last night, Zimmer and Cox being elevated and being activated to the 46-man game day roster over Trent Murphy, over Harrison Phillips. So, you know, they're experimenting personnel-wise. I think mentality-wise, at the end of the game, when they knew they were going to run the ball and they were ticked off about getting just run over the whole game, and they actually had Cox and Zimmer in for these moments, then they were able to stop the run at a pretty good rate. And so last night, were they defending the run on the way to the quarterback, which is an old Jim Schwartz term that I got from him, an old Jim Schwartz saying, and because there was times where, you know, Kansas City doesn't run a ton of read option with the quarterback. So they're running shotgun runs where the defensive end was going towards Mahomes, and that was the unblocked guy as Edwards-Helaire went up the middle, and it was like if the defensive end took a route to the running back, you know, maybe at the TFL every other time, but he was going towards the quarterback and then going back to the running back, and he never made the play once. So were they telling those guys to go at the quarterback and we're truly going to try and shut Mahomes down on this day? I'm not sure. It's hard for me since I'm not sitting in those defensive meetings. But long answer to your question, I think, yes, you know, all the new bodies up front, having Milano out, Edmonds with a shoulder injury, I think all of that is contributing to some of their lack of success on the defensive front seven.
With Eric Wood, Mike Shope, and the Bulldog here on WGR, and there are a couple of plays later in this game that were almost shocking to see from a Bills team. Trey White's out-of-bounds hit. Jordan Poyer's was even more severe. Even got Sean McDermott after the game to criticize that and say, like, there's no place for that. Then, if you want it, Stephon Diggs just sort of lazily running back to the line of scrimmage and being late for the next play. I don't know, Eric. Maybe they're not all the same thing as you look at it. But I've got veteran guys on a team that's gotten a lot of credit and been winning. And here in this game, I don't know, they cracked.
They did. And it got me, too. I mean, I was frustrated watching those two plays by those defenders, and those are isolated. And, you know, these aren't guys with character issues. They were frustrated, visibly. And to make bad decisions that they don't make often, I don't think I've ever seen either of those guys get, you know, a unnecessary roughness that wasn't, you know, something bang, bang on the sideline or something. And then I don't know if the Stephon Diggs deal was a miscommunication, you know, just like a misunderstanding, miscommunication, or if that was truly just he was frustrated. And if I'm Stephon Diggs, what they were doing at cornerback last night was pretty much like old school championship run Baltimore Ravens stuff. Like, hey, let's just beat them up at receiver and we'll take penalties. We'll take hands in the face. We will take defensive holding. That's fine. We're not letting the Bills receivers take the top off the defense and maybe they'll quit trying it. And you know what? We didn't complete any deep balls and you have the receivers visibly frustrated at the end of the game.
Tennessee was rough with him, too. I mean, he had 10 catches in that game. But I thought in that game it was sort of obvious that they were punishing him. So, I don't know. Maybe these things are just separate things. But bottom line, like you said, they did not hit those plays in this game. And they're under 20 points again. And for all the talk that we've had about the Bills' defense and their strategy and their performance, like, the offense is the story for me. I always thought they would have to score a lot to beat Kansas City. Like, that was how it felt last season. This year, it's looked like they're capable of it. But you didn't have that last night. And so, I'm not surprised that the Bills don't beat a Chiefs team when scoring in the teens.
No doubt. You weren't going to beat Kansas City last night, no question, by scoring 17 points. Now, could the defense help you out and got off the field more? Yes. Could the offense to help themselves out and to put more points on the board? Absolutely. And to beat a team like the Chiefs, you're going to have to play clean on offense. And they play clean from the standpoint of not turning the ball over. And the one that would have been the turnover on downs, luckily, was a snap infraction because they got stuffed. But you're going to have to do more than just play a clean game with no turnovers to beat the defending Super Bowl champions with the best quarterback in the league. To your point, they were going to have to score 28, 30, 35 points before the game. I said that they were going to have to score, I think I said 31 points or something, to beat Kansas City, and they didn't get it done.
How about the Bills' run game? We talked a lot about what Kansas City did to them up front and, you know, try to, you know, guess and feel around for some reasons. There's some stats making the rounds here about the percentage of run plays the Bills and specifically Devin Singletary are facing with not stacked boxes. In other words, advantageous situations to run the ball, and they still can't seem to get the ground game going. I imagine there's some problems up front, and maybe that's a multifaceted thing where it's guys are taking turns. But either way, on a night where it was sloppy, and Kansas City, maybe much like Tennessee, was inviting them to run, they could not do that effectively either.
You're right, and the yards per carry for Devin Singletary is a concern this year. Last night he's at 3.2 yards per carry. Zach Moss at 2.0 yards a carry, but when you look at that, you know, he's in for a lot of short yardage situations. He's generally, unless he busts one, he's not going to have a huge yards per carry based upon the runs that they had him in for last night. But when you look at Devin Singletary, it is concerning, and, you know, It's hard to put your finger on it necessarily. There's a lot of penetration in the backfield. The one where they showed the end zone review of was the 3rd and 1 right before the snap infraction QB sneak that I referenced earlier. And on that play, the 3rd and 1 play, Cody Ford, the way he came off the ball, not even looking back at Jones, who made the inside move on him, he thought that Mitch Morris was coming with him. Mitch Morris was combo blocking with the backside guard. So, to me, that's a pure miscommunication. And, you know, that stuff can get fixed. And maybe, you know, it's hard to blame stuff like this 6 games in on something with not having OTAs, not having, you know, as much work, and not having preseason games, I'll say. It's hard to blame that 6 games in when we didn't blame it in games 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, there's some issues up front, but, you know, that goes offensive line, that's tight end, that's quarterbacks getting them into the right play at the right times. And, you know, Devin Singletary, this was pretty much the same line as last year. I'm not saying they're playing as high of a level as last year, but it's pretty much the same offensive line and the average over 5 yards a carry. So something's going on with the run game.
With Eric Wood for just a couple more minutes. Eric, I've got to ask you about the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick taken out. Like, I think most fans sort of are expecting that to happen at some point, or were. But Fitzpatrick really did not make it easy. He did not have any kind of a blow-up game. And, you know, more to the point, in their last 2 weeks, they have dominated and won in routes. But it's the bye, and Tua is a top-5 pick. And so here we are nonetheless. I wonder, you know, what you think, or maybe you know, what Fitzpatrick's reaction to that might have been. And then, like, are the Dolphins legit to you?
So a couple questions in there. I did not speak to Fitzpatrick yet. I tweeted something about it. He's not on Twitter under a handle that you would recognize. I have sources that say that somehow he sees a number of my tweets. I don't know if that's from his wife, his son, or who it is, but he has access, but he does not participate. I'll say that. So anyways, I have not spoken to him yet. I don't really even know how to phrase it. Maybe you guys can text me some words of advice after this. Maybe that's my question for you guys this week. Right. How do you reach out to a buddy that should not have been benched but was? You understand what they're doing, but you don't agree with it. You know, what's the wording? But, you know, when I look at the situation down there, you know, Fitz had said from the very beginning he knew the situation. He was there, and he said it on my podcast when we recorded one over the summer. Yes, he's there, and he's going to teach Tua. He's there for him. He's going to mentor him, but he's going to compete like hell to keep that starting job. And that's what he's done. He won the starting job, first off, and then he's played well enough to keep it. You know, is there strategy to go out and win this year and make a run at the AFC East? Then I think you keep Fitz in there. But, you know, you play Tua in basically a situation at the end of the game last week, hand off the ball, you have a bye week coming up. Maybe you just think this is the time for Tua. Maybe this isn't Flores' decision. Maybe this is not Chan Gailey's decision. I'm assuming it probably comes from above them. So there's a lot that goes into a quarterback decision like that. And, you know, obviously I'm going to be biased of one of my best friends and say that 50 should not be getting benched. But I think there's a lot of people around NFL circles and just around the country that agree with me.
Yeah, and I wonder if he could be traded. And there's been some speculation about that, as you see Dallas struggling or other teams. I would guess that the Dolphins would not want to do that, that it might be a pretty high asking price or higher than what is realistic. They have draft picks already, Houston's 1 and 2, as well as their own and maybe others. And I'm sure they appreciate and value what Fitzpatrick's role has been and what they see it being as a backup. So, you know, he's insurance besides. I would think that they would not want to do that, but I would love it, Eric. I would love it if Ryan Fitzpatrick got traded. Okay, if it's two a time, it's two a time. Then you don't need Fitz anymore. And he goes to a team. I mean, the Cowboys is a really fun idea because, like, they're loaded and they're 2-4 and in first place. Like, you know, the guy's never been to the playoffs. What a story.
That's what I was just going to say. Fitz has never been to the playoffs. Yeah, give me Fitz to Dallas. And I'm all for it. Plus, I've always loved when Fitz played in the NFC because it gets a lot easier to root for him even harder than I normally do. You know, normally it's like this balance of like, oh, I really want Fitz to do good, but I sure don't want to see the Dolphins win again or the Jets or the Titans, and the list goes on. But I would be all for Fitz the Dolphins. And I never answered your question about are the Dolphins a contender. You know, I haven't seen enough from Tua to know. You know, I know he played well at Alabama, and then he had that massive injury last year. We haven't seen him in, I would say, over a year. I don't know the exact timeline. Right around a year we haven't seen him, and he was playing against college guys. He gets no OTAs, no preseason games. I'll go ahead and take the no on that one.
They are sixth in the league in point differential. Now, again, they took their quarterback out. But, like, they're stopping people. They have a better point differential. They were above Kansas City until last night. Arizona passed them as well last night. But, like, they're off to a very nice start, 3-3. Maybe they are more the competition for the Bills than New England is.
And you might be right there, honestly. And, you know, we'll see how New England does when they get past this coronavirus outbreak situation they got going in New England. But, you know, when I looked at New England from the start and I saw what they were doing with Josh McDaniels and Cam Newton, it was great coaching. But unless Cam Newton, unless they're going to embrace fully what he did in Carolina in his MVP year, get him in the shotgun, quarterback powers, a lot of play action, similar to what the Bills were doing with Josh Allen to start this year. His arm's not as dynamic as Josh's, but similar stuff. Then I didn't think that they could kind of out-scheme people in a normal under-center, kind of Tom Brady, kind of Cam Newton-looking offense, and we'll see how that develops throughout the year. But to me, it didn't look like it was sustainable that they were just going to kind of continue to trick people, and then their defense, to start the year, playing well. But all the opt-outs they had, as soon as they have any injuries, coronavirus, whatever it may be, they're thin on defense.
Well, Bulldog, I don't know how to advise Eric. Like the question he has about how to reach out to Fitz depends on how good a friend you are. I mean, like if something like I don't know, you and I work together, but say you lost your job. Let's say for the sake of this point that we're friends.
Okay.
So you lose your job.
This is already far-fetched.
Right. So I might joke around with you instead of just being like, hey, I'm sorry to hear the news or something like that. Like if you, right. I'm sorry to hear is sort of what you say to somebody you don't know that well, but you have their number.
Right.
Yeah. I think when it's a close friend.
That's kind of the predicament I'm in.
Yeah. I think, dude, tough one. I don't know. Like that's, you know, like that might
demand
be
a trade.
The best I'm going to do is like, dude, tough one.
Dude, what the heck are they thinking down there? Demand a trade unless you feel like being at way more of your son's and daughter's soccer games on the weekend than shoot takeoff after Saturday morning walkthroughs up Tampa, then come back to Miami for the game Sunday and chill out. I don't know.
Right.
Probably somewhere in between sympathetic and that.
Right. Dwayne Haskins might have had a cold and missed a couple of days there. Who knows? Maybe Fitz can have a cold or something. I don't know. I'd love to see him on a new team and be able to keep playing. Eric, great to talk to you as always, and we'll do this Monday next week if that works for you.
Yep, sounds good. And I'm all for Fitz playing for a new team, and I want it to be like a brand new team for him. I want him to get just another touchdown pass as a starter from another franchise and just keep racking up and just keep padding his stats on his already NFL record.
Like McCown with the kids having all the jerseys. I mean, he's got a bunch of kids, right? He needs to add to that list, maybe. All right. Thanks again, Eric.
Yep, my pleasure. See you guys.
All right. Eric Wood's appearance with us here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Jim's Stakeout, Western New York's best steak hoagies since 1981, and by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino, 888-2020.
We'll go back to last night, 803-0550 for your thoughts, theories, questions. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.